wanted Donnie to be with me today. I know somebody told me this morning, said, I wonder where Donnie's at. Well, Donnie's church, they needed him there today. And so he's playing in his church. So I always miss him when he's not with me. But I've got some new song, a couple of songs I've been working on I'd like to do for you. And this first song, kind of goes hand in hand with God on the mountain. When things are good, we know God's with us. But when things are bad and we're struggling, sometimes we wonder. But we need to remember he's always with us. And sometimes it's the struggles he puts in our way that when we overcome, he knows we know he's with us. It's kind of what this song is about. I've faced a mountain I've never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while, so Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I've never had before. Sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes a troubled sea, sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain trust you and believe. Forgive me, Jesus, I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. But this I will admit, it's brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord, not afraid to say. Sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes a troubled sea, sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes mountains to trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes mountains, sometimes a troubled sea, sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. You were there for me through it all. Everyone around said I would fall. You were my friend, and you believed in me. Through the good times and the bad, the times I felt that you were all I had. You were my friend, and you believed in me. So you went the extra mile to prove your love was true. You held out your hands as they drove the nails in you. When you could have walked away, I turned you back to all my sin. To me you gave your life, Lord. You chose to be my friend. Like a child, so full of fear, you stood by my side and held me near. You were my friend, and you believed in me. When my faith grew weak and strength seemed gone, you took me by the hand and led me on. You were my friend, and you believed in me. So you went the extra mile to prove your love was true. You held out your hand as they drove the nails in you. When you could have walked away, I turned you back to all my sin. To me you gave your life, Lord. You chose to be my friend. When you could have walked away, turned you back to all my sin. For me you gave your life. You chose to be my friend. For me you gave your life, Lord. You chose to be my friend. There's a peace I have come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Thank you. peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus is overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He's risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness brings to light. There's a shadow disappears, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He's risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that song, and I appreciate the Holy Spirit working. I hope in that song you could hear Scripture. You know, we're going to John chapter 5 this morning, and I preached in John chapter 5 last week, and Jesus there said the hour's coming, and now is when they will hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ in the tombs. And he's talking about the day of the resurrection, but he talks of two resurrections there, the resurrection from good deeds and the resurrection to those who have committed evil deeds. But it's something going on there in chapter 5. Jesus is talking about, did you know that we can rise spiritually now? That gives us hope and gives us the promise that one day dead bodies that are in the ground will be resurrected to eternal life. But that rise that Mark was singing about there on eagle's wings, that's Isaiah chapter 40. We hear this rising or this spiritual rebirth of John chapter 3. And if you heard about worthy is the Lamb, that's chapter 4 and chapter 5 in Revelations. All of Scripture testifies about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're reading Scripture, we need to remember that. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about four witnesses to Jesus' authority. If you remember last week, we was talking about Jesus said that he had the authority because of his equality and his unity with the Father. The Father and Son do the same works. The Father can reveals the things that he wants the Son to do and say. The Son only does and says the things that the Father has revealed to him because of their unity. They are equal because of their equality. They share authority. Jesus has the authority to give life just as the Father gives life. Jesus has authority to judge and will return to be the judge. 1 Timothy says that there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the person Jesus Christ. And so as you think about this authority, excuse me, this morning, I want us to think about what's going on here as Jesus is speaking of his equality with God, of his deity, and the religious leaders or the religious of Jesus' time, they're rejecting his authority. But don't we all know people that reject Jesus' authority today? And some of us even reject Jesus' authority because we all have got certain things in our life we don't want to give Jesus control over, don't we? And when Jesus forgives us and gives us a new life, we ought to be willing to submit to his authority over that life. If Jesus died to give us a new life, who would be better to tell us how to use that life than Jesus, the one that died and gave it to us? Amen? So let us pray. Kind Father, we come before you this morning and just the next few minutes here, Lord, I pray that you would help us learn that everything you say, everything you do, everything you command of us, every promise ever made come true in you. And Lord, that we should submit to you so that, Lord, by submitting to you and humbly bowing before you, Lord, we could not only be born again, but then we could understand Scripture and how it speaks of you. We could understand the love of God. Lord, we could understand how honoring you also honors God. And Lord, most of all, we don't no longer have to fear the judgment that is coming in that last day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As Jesus talks about this in verse 30 of chapter 5, he says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You've heard me say over and over, and you've heard other preachers say that Jesus came to this earth and lived the life we should have lived. Or Jesus came to this earth and he was sinless. Jesus came to this earth and he lived the life that God wanted him to live. Or we say that Jesus come to the earth and the whole time he was here, he obeyed the Father. And this is the statement that Jesus is making right here. You know, a lot of times we say things when we are evangelizing people or sharing the faith, our faith with people, and we don't really know where they come from in the Bible. But here, Jesus says that I do the will of him who sent me. In other words, I obey the Father. He also says in chapter 14, verse 31, that, hey, I can only do one thing, what pleases the Father. Now, if you don't know what to do tomorrow, just stop and say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do today, but the one thing I want to get right is be pleasing to you. And I guarantee your day will get better. Now, the way you do that is submit to Jesus' authority and control over your life. Now, Jesus says in verse 31 that I alone, if I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true. Now, in chapter 8, verse 18, he says that if I testify and my Father testify, our testimony is true. So Jesus here is not saying that the things he says is false. He says, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. In other words, I understand what y'all are thinking. Well, he might say that he is God. He might say he's the Son of God. But how do we know this for sure? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6, and also in chapter 19, verse 15, and also in Leviticus, it tells us that you not to take the testimony of one person, but what? Two or more. Well, if you go to court and somebody accused you of something you didn't do, and they didn't have any witnesses, right? They shouldn't charge you with that. Or if you had two witnesses saying that, hey, he didn't really do that or she didn't really do that, that should be considered true. And here what Jesus is saying is, look, if I just showed up on the scene and told y'all I was the Son of God, I wouldn't expect you to believe me. But let me give you four witnesses. I want to give you the witness of John the Baptist. I want to give you the witness of the works that I do, that the Father sent me to do. I want to give you the witness of my Father who is in heaven, who testified about me. And I want to give you the witness of the Bible, the Word of God, of Scripture. And he says here that there's another who testifies of me, and I know that the testimony which he gives about me is true. Now, you think, well, that means he's talking about John the Baptist. No, he's going to give John as a witness, but he's talking about there's one greater than John the Baptist. There's one greater than your preacher. There's one greater than the preacher on TV, your Sunday school teacher. There's one greater than all, and that's God himself. And he says the Father himself testifies about me because there's nothing the Father has ever said or set into motion that Jesus Christ didn't do. Does it make sense? When we talk about the finished work of Christ, we are talking about Christ come and accomplish the plan of salvation that God set in motion before the foundation of the world. Did you know that when God created you and you was that pretty little baby and you was looking good, Miss Linda was talking about she'd forgot all the little things a baby does, stretching and the faces they make, and you look at them little babies and everybody goes, ain't they so cute? But then it ain't long and they're not cute no more, are they? They mean we all become rebellious. And the Lord God knew that we would rebel through free choice. And so before the foundation of time, he had a plan of salvation, and his name was Jesus Christ. And so it is God's plan and God's testimony that's the most important. But we have human testimony. Jesus says here, look, I've got my first witness is John the Baptist. Is John the Baptist, and said, look, you come to see John, or you have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. If you remember in chapter 1, John the Baptist is preaching a baptism of repentance. In other words, he was the light that was shining. He was the prophet that made straight the way to the Lord. In other words, he says, guess what? Y'all have not been obeying God. You need to be baptized. Why do we need to be baptized? We're the children of God. Because you need to admit you not being obeying God. And you repent. You're repenting from your worldly ways. And you're turning back to God. You're being baptized. You're showing. You're making a new start. You're starting over. That's what John was preaching. So the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the elders, they sent, and the priest, they sent an envoy to see John the Baptist, and they say, tell us who you are. Are you the Messiah? Nope. Are you Elijah? Nope. Are you one of the prophets? No. Well, who are you? He says, I'm the one telling y'all that the Messiah is coming. And when he comes, the coming Messiah, he is greater than I am. In other words, John goes on to give them his testimony that you must make Jesus more important than anything in your life, than your job, than your home, than your family, than your wants, than your desires, anything. Jesus should be the most important thing in your life. When you make Jesus the most important thing in your life, everything else will fall in order. It's what John the Baptist is saying. And Jesus says, look, y'all sent to John, and John told y'all the truth. Hey, I'm not the Messiah, but the Messiah's coming. And then he says, but the testimony which I receive is not from man, but I say these things so that you might be saved. Chapter 2, verses 23, 24, and 25. Jesus, it says there that he did not need anyone to testify about himself because what? He knew what was in the hearts of men. Jesus says, I don't really need John the Baptist to testify about me. Because I got a testimony greater than that. That's my Father who's in heaven. But look what he says. The reason I need him to testify is so that, or the result, you might be saved. Now, did you know that God still uses some of us to testify about the greatness of Jesus before other people? You know, there's a lot of people that probably wouldn't believe me if I told them that Jesus can change your life if they hadn't watched what Christ did in my life year after year to see that I didn't go back to my old ways. Me and Mona lived in Tennessee for 10 years. We moved back here. We lived here about 4 years. And I had a preacher come to me one time and ask me if I was still doing this, this, and this. And I said, not in the last 13 years. He says, well, some of your family said they didn't know because they hadn't seen you because you was living in Tennessee for 10 years. And so I just wondered how long this has been going on and how long it's going to last. And I said, well, it's supposed to last into eternity. And so far it's lasted ever since I've trusted Jesus. Now, my testimony is because that might help other people. They say, how do you know that God is true? I can say, because I've seen it in my own life. And I can tell them, I say, you just try Jesus. Trust him. And see if your life doesn't start changing. And Jesus says here, I don't need this testimony because faith is about believing God, believing what God has said. But you can see a testimony from another believer and come to understand that Jesus changes hearts and a changed heart will change a life. And he says, he was a lamp that was burning and was shining and you were willing to rejoice for a little while in that light. Now what Jesus is saying here is, look guys, y'all have read the Bible. Now, all of y'all probably either read your Bible or been in Sunday school or vacation Bible school or you know something about Jesus. Amen? Right? Same thing here with the Pharisees. Psalm 132. It says that God will raise up a horn from David. He's talking about a powerful one from David that will be a descendant of David. He will be the anointed one or the Christ. He'll be the rescuer. He'll be the Savior. And he goes on to say that God's people will, same word here, rejoice. They'll be happy. So John the Baptist was preaching, the Messiah's coming, and y'all was happy. His light was shining. If you got a lamp, you either got to what? Have electricity or oil or Coleman fuel. You got to have something in it or batteries to fuel the lamp, right? John was the lamp, but it was the power of God, the Spirit of God in John that was giving him this light to shine the testimony that the Messiah was coming. And Jesus says, y'all rejoiced for a little while. If you remember, they was happy that the Savior's coming. Everybody wants a Savior, right? You happy that the Savior's coming? They were happy. He's coming. John, great message. We love it. And then when Jesus showed up, they like, we don't love it so much. We didn't know he's going to be like this. Now, aren't we the same way sometimes? All of us want Jesus. All of us want Jesus to change our life. But then we'll come in, we'll be doing something, and Jesus said, no, you can't do that no more. And you're like, wait a minute, Jesus. Now, look, I was having a good time, but you want me to change some things here I don't want to let go of. Jesus says, here's the witness of John. John is telling you that I am the Savior. And everything John told you was correct about me. And he says, if you want all of me, you've got to accept my authority over all of you, over all of your life. And that's what Jesus is saying. And he says here, look, y'all was rejoicing. Y'all believed I was the Savior for a little while, and that faded. But he says, the testimony that I have is greater than the testimony of John. Verse 36. Second witness here is the witness of the Father. He says there's a witness greater than the testimony of a preacher, of your Sunday school teacher, of your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, greater than your children. There is a testimony that is greater, and he says that's the works that I do, that the Father's given me to accomplish. So Jesus says, I've come, what have I done? I've healed the sick, I've healed the blind, I've healed the lame, I've been given the authority. It hasn't. John hasn't told about this yet, but I'm going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And the greatest of all is I'm going to be risen from the grave myself. I'm going to lay down my life, and I'm going to be risen back to life. I have power over life and death. These are the works that I'm doing. If you've seen these works, you know that I'm working the works of God. These are the works he gave. The very works I do, they testify about me and the Father who has sent me. So in verse 36, 37, and 38, all three, he says that these are testimonies that the Father sent me. I do the work of the Father. I'm doing everything the Father asked me to do. And also, the word of the Father is abiding in me. So he says, the works that I do are testimony. You know, the best testimony that we can have is to let other people know what God's been changing in our life and what he's been doing in our life. And when we tell other people that, they'll start watching us and see what Christ is doing in our life. And if you know that the Lord has done something in your life, you can speak with confidence that he can do it in the life of other people. With confidence. And you say, how do you know? Because God does these things. I didn't do it. You know, one of the greatest things we can do when the Lord changes our life, as far as a testimony, is let everybody know it's not me, but it's Christ living in me. It's not me that done this. It's God that done this. And he goes on to say, the third witness that we have is the witness of the Father. He said, the Father who has sent me has testified about me. And he says here, you have neither heard his voice at any time or seen his form. Now, what Jesus is talking about here, as you know, there's three times in the New Testament that God speaks out of heaven and testifies to Jesus being his only begotten Son and whom he's proud of. He talks about it on the Mount of Transfiguration. But also, he's talking about here that these spiritual leaders have not understood the voice of God or the Word of God. Think about Joshua. Joshua was the servant of Moses because God said, my servant Moses has died. And he tells Joshua, he says, go forth and deliver the people. Deliver them into the promised land. But here's what you need to do. Read my word. Meditate on my word. Talk about my word and obey my word. In other words, he says, you know, if you hear the voice of God, then you think about it, it dwells in you, and if it's dwelling in you, you obey it, and you see these things happen. Think about Jacob. Jacob wrestled with God, and it said he what? Seen God face to face. Moses, in the tent of God, says that he was a friend of God, and he saw God face to face. Now, did he really see God's face? No, but that's talking about it was an intimate relationship as two friends talk. That Moses spoke to God and God spoke to him. Jesus says here, look, you worried about a lot of religious things, but you haven't heard what God said because God testified about me. If you was understanding God's plan of salvation, you'd understand that I am the Savior. I am the Son of God who's been sent, as John said, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. I am the Lion of Judah. That comes to be a conquering deliverer for you. Verse 38, it says, you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him who sent me. So Jesus says, look, here's why you ain't heard the word of God. You haven't heard the word of God or seen God at any time because you do not believe that I am the Son of God. That God sent me. Now, if you, in Deuteronomy chapter 13, Moses tells the Israelites that they, if a prophet comes or a dreamer, and he arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and that wonder comes true, that you can believe it. But he says, you shall not listen to the words of a prophet or a dreamer of dreamers, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. What does that mean? It means Moses told him, look, in the future, you're going to have a lot of false prophets come along. And when they come along and they testify about things, and they might even say, look what I did over here. But if those things don't line up with the word of God and the commandments of God, you know what? God is testing you to see if you love him or if you're going to love a false prophet or a false God. John, in 1 John chapter 4, tells us this. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming and is already in the world. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 4, don't just run out and believe anybody. There's many antichrists, little a antichrist, not the big antichrist during the 7 years of the tribulation. There's going to be false saviors coming all the time. They might be political figures. A lot of times, if you think about it, we pray and ask God to help the elections go the way we want them to, because we want a politician to be our savior. Hey, a politician can't save you. God might use him to change some laws and redirect some things. Jesus is the only savior. And here, Jesus says, look, here's the problem that y'all have. Y'all don't believe the one who sent me. So you got a personal witness of John the Baptist, a human witness. You've got the miracles that Jesus does himself. That could be miracles of healing, miracles of salvation, a changed life. These works that you saw Jesus doing, everyone that he healed, the lady caught in adultery, the lame man, what did he tell them? Go and sin no more. No matter whether he was healing them spiritually or physically, any of God's work in somebody's life also has a spiritual aspect to it, a spiritual aspect of reorienting you to God is what's going on here. The fourth witness is the witness of Scripture. He says, you search the Scriptures, in verse 39, because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. So, the Pharisees and the scribes, they studied God's Word. And Jesus says, look, you're studying God's Word because you think it is eternal life in the Scripture. You've studied the Word of God. You know it. You've memorized a bunch of Bible verses. You can tell me all about the end times. You can tell me everything in the Old Testament. Here's the problem. You don't believe all of Scripture points to me. See, when we was growing up, we used to hear stories about, like, David and Goliath, right? And it preaches good if I'd stand up here and tell you what you need to do is slay the giants in your life. You're always going to be facing giants. But you know that's not what that story is about. That story's not about David whooping Goliath. It's about David saying, my God still fights for me. David said, I run into a bear and I run into a lion, and my God defeated both of them. And he says, today, you've disgraced my God, and I'll stand before you because my God still fights for me, and he'll defeat you too. See, all of the Bible points to a rescuer, because here's the most important thing you can learn about the Bible. We're not the hero. The Bible over and over shows us that our life was so messed up that God had to leave heaven and be born in a manger. Live a life of contempt. People rejecting him to the point that he died on a cross, naked, bloody, and ashamed for us, was buried, was resurrected, and now he's sitting at the right hand of God, exalted, ruling and reigning. Until we understand that our life was messed up and we need a Savior, we'll never understand that the whole Bible is a lot of individual stories is pointing to one big story about how Jesus is the yes and amen to all of our problems. Jesus says, you study the scriptures, it don't do any good to be able to memorize and quote them if you don't believe them and you're not living by them. If you're not asking for me to forgive you, intervene in your life like Nicodemus. He said, Jesus, we know the works you do. You've got to be from God. So tell us, teacher. He thought Jesus was just a teacher. And he'd already said, works testify you've been sent for God, but who are you? And Jesus tells him he's the Son of God. But guess what? You'll never understand that until you trust me and you've been born again. Nicodemus, you've got to be born again if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, if you're even going to see the kingdom of God, if you're even going to understand peace with God, you got to have a do-over, a second chance, a start over. And that's by admitting that you are a sinner undone. You need help. And Jesus is that help. And once you're saved, then your life takes on a new meaning. And you can be a testimony for God. Now, we often wonder, well, if it's that simple, Pastor, how come people just don't get saved? Well, here's four consequences if you don't accept these four witnesses of Jesus. First of all, if you don't accept Jesus as fully God and don't accept his authority over your life, first of all, you'll never understand his word. Jesus says here in verse 40, you are unwilling to come to me so that you might have life. He said, look, you study the scriptures because you think eternal life's in there. If you don't accept me as the giver of new life, you'll never understand scripture. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 14. He says that the unspiritual man cannot appraise spiritual things of God. In other words, until we get saved, can we understand we need saving? Yes, the Bible's clear about that. Just by seeing creation, we know that God exists. We know that there's a problem. The Bible leads us to Jesus. It points to Jesus as the Savior. We can ask for forgiveness. Jesus forgives us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. When that happens, we start understanding the things of God, understanding Scripture different. Till I got saved, I just understood that Jesus was the Savior. When I accepted Jesus as my Savior, when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're spiritually born again, and Scripture starts taking on a new meaning. It's no longer pointing to what I've done wrong. It's pointing to what God has done for me and what he's going to be doing for me from now on. And for you, we start understanding, guess what? There's a new way to live. It ain't the world's way. It ain't mama's way. It ain't daddy's way. It's God's way. Does that mean you don't obey your mom and daddy? No. If your mom and daddy's living under God's rules, everybody gonna get along. But the most important thing you can ever do is trust Jesus, ask for a new life, and then surrender that life to him. And then you can start understanding the words of Scripture, how you should live. And if you do that, you can understand something else, the love of God. John goes on to say in 1 John that we know love by this, that God first loved us. He demonstrated his love to us in that what? Christ died for us. He sent his son to die for us. Jesus tells these Pharisees, guess what? Y'all think that you have got God's approval because y'all showed up to church this morning dressed up bringing your Bibles. That's what he's saying here. But guess what? He says, but you know that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. Till you get saved, you can't even love God like you're supposed to. Because why? You're trying to earn God's love. You're trying to look like God wants you to look. You cannot love God until you surrender to Jesus' authority. Verse 43 says, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. This is going back talking about the Antichrist, these that want to be your Savior or says they'll be your Savior. It says, verse 44, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Now, in church, sometimes we think, well, Lord, the Lord will be happy with me if I come to church, but if I come to church, I better be dressed a certain way. Now, am I getting dressed for God or for what y'all think about me? Sometimes we think that our identity is the vision that we have in our head of ourselves. How I look in a suit and tie, or how I look in blue jeans, or how I look in a certain kind of shoes. I have people ask me all the time about tattoos and piercings and things like that, and they say, you know, well, what about that? And I said, here's the problem with that. Before you get into all the Old Testament stuff, think about this. The reason a lot of people wear the clothes they wear, drive the car they drive, do tattoos, do different things, is because that is their identity. That is who they want people to see them as. The most important vision you have of yourself is letting other people see Jesus in you. Can people see Jesus living in me? Can people see Jesus living in you? You know, often we worry more about what other people think about us than what God thinks about us. Here's what he's saying. Y'all can't love God. Here's why. If you remember in John, several of the leaders believed in Jesus. But it says that they were not confessing him because they was afraid of the Pharisees, the scribes, and the elders, the other people. How often do we sometimes not confess Jesus is Lord because we're worried about what other people will think about us? They'll think you're a Bible thumper. One of these religious, non-tolerant people. Jesus says, if you surrender my authority and my control over your life, you'll be able to start understanding Scripture. If you don't, you won't be able to understand it, and you'll never be able to love God. I had a preacher tell me one time, boy, when you start preaching, when you're standing up before the people, I want you to always do one thing. Don't worry about who's in the audience. You always look in the back and imagine Jesus sitting on the back row. And when you're speaking about him, if he's not giving you a thumbs up that that's what he said, you stop talking. The most important thing we'll do to show our love from God is to let everybody know that what God says we take is true, whether it's popular or not. Because Jesus says, the Father loves me as I love the Father, because I bring honor to the Father, and the Father gives honor to the Son. Jesus says, I come to this earth and demonstrated my love to the Father by doing as he asked, as he spoke. When we live out the truth of God before other people, that's our way of saying, God, I love you, because you first loved me. You can honor God by seeking to glorify God instead of yourself. And last, here's the worst consequence of all. If you don't take Jesus to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world, you cannot avoid judgment. Judgment is coming. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, it's as inasmuch as it is appointed for man to die once, after this, the judgment. Time is short on this earth, and the decisions we make on this earth determines where we'll spend eternity. Jesus says here, verses 46 and 47, he says, for if you'd believe Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe in his writings, how will you believe in his words? Because he says in verse 45, do not think that I'm the one that accuses you before the Father, for the one accuses you is Moses, in whom you've set your hope. And where's he saying, look, you've read the book. You believe judgment is coming. The Bible says there's one way to be judged righteous and reconciled to God, and that's by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you. Jesus says, hey, I'm not the one judging you. You can believe it or not. If you don't believe it, you're already judged. That's chapter 3, verse 17. Jesus says, I come so you don't have to worry about judgment no more. So this morning, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you have trusted in Jesus to forgive your sins and be your Savior, it means you believe that He's got the authority to forgive you. You must also accept that He has authority to tell you how to live. And this morning, I just want you to think of areas in your life that you know are not pleasing to God. Areas in your life that's not showing God that you love Him. And whatever they are, you fill in the blank. Just say, Lord, I know I don't need to do this no more. I know I don't need to hold on to this bitterness or this anger or this hatred or this resentment or this revenge. Lord, I know I don't need to gossip. Lord, I know I'm watching some things on TV I shouldn't watch. Lord, I know I participate in some jokes that are off color. I don't know what's going on in your life this morning, but if it doesn't glorify God, just say, Lord, help me stop. Help me live a life that is a testimony that You've got authority over my life. Help me to live a life so others know that I love You. Lord, help me honor You with the life that You died to give me. Lord, I don't care how people judge me. I just want to be judged rightly before You. Help me today to begin living Your way. If you're here and you've never received that in your life, just say, Lord, today I want to be reconciled to You. I've not lived life Your way, and I know that. I'm asking You to forgive me. I believe Jesus died for me. Please give me a new life and take control of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I've never made a fortune. It's probably too late now. Oh, but I don't worry about that much, 'cause I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, I'm reaping better than I've sown. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. Ain't got a lot of riches, sometime the going's rough, but I've got a friend in Jesus, and that makes me rich enough. And I thank God for all His blessings on me, and the mercy He's bestowed. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. Oh, sure, I've been through some storms. And yes, there were times I know when my faith, well, it got a little thin. But it seemed like all at once those dark clouds broke, and that old sun started shining again. So, Lord, help me not to grumble and complain about the tough roads I'm home. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. And if I should go on living, if the way gets steep and rough, I won't ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy, oh Lord, to help another bear their load. Drinking from my
my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowing. Yes, I'll keep drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowing.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. This won't take but just a second. We're going to call a short business meeting to order right now. So I called Hunt Springs Baptist Church to order in a short business meeting. Here's the thing. We've been talking about replacing this projector with a LED projector, because this one